after we realize the great grace of God, and after we realize, you know, really the things that God has done for each of us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the life that we now have available to us, right? The privilege, the blessing to walk in newness of life because we've been raised with Him. He encourages us in Romans 12:1, because of all that great grace that's been manifested and mercy that's been manifested because of what Jesus Christ paid for on our behalf and the benefit that we have, it encourages us to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. You know, that we live by Him, and so we are to present ourselves alive to Him. And the way we do that is simply stated here in the first two verses, right? It's, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's because of all that great grace and mercy that's been manifest through Jesus Christ, that is ours because we just simply believe it, then that we present ourselves a living sacrifice. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the most logical thing for you to do now because of the great grace that God has manifested through Christ for each of us. The most logical thing we can do is desire to present ourselves alive to Him. Just like Jesus Christ presented Himself alive to God after God raised Him from the dead, He presented Himself to God and said, "Here I am, the first fruits from among the dead." And we're to do the same thing, that we reckon ourselves alive now, raised from the dead, not with this flesh, but in newness of life. The same way that Jesus Christ presented Himself now to live unto God after the resurrection, we too do the same thing. How do we do that? Well, it's simple. Verse 2 says, this is how to do it. Not to be conformed to this world. It's to live before God, to present ourselves a living sacrifice, has nothing to do with doing it the way the world says to do it, or to conform ourselves to the world's way of doing things. But it's to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That you may prove those things. To come before God and say, my flesh has done nothing for me, it never has, never can, never will. But you have done it all for me through Christ. You have raised me from the dead with Him. And so now, here I am to live before you. How? By renewing our mind. By renewing our mind to what we have in Christ. Not what we have by our own accomplishments or our own work, or what we can do by the works of the law, which everybody falls short in, but to present ourselves before God alive. Alive. Now, it's simply to think, you know, like it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 2, or 10, verse 5, you know, to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our lives before God is one thought at a time. One thought at a time. Pink elephant, gray elephant. One thought at a time, right? I can think pink elephants, or I can think realistically, gray elephants. I can think creepy, ugly, bad, or I can think righteous, justified, sanctified. I can think weak, cowardly, afraid, or I can think strong in Christ, brave, courageous, ready for anything, equal to anything, one thought at a time. See? Because we see that's how we're transformed. And we just simply control our thinking and the transformation occurs. We control our thinking. We think of ourselves when we look at ourselves in the mirror. You know, at that, the glory of God. Behold the glory of the Lord. When we look at ourselves in this mirror, we behold the glory of the Lord. When we look at ourselves in the mirror in the bathroom, we are to behold the glory of the Lord. Because we do not walk by our sight, we walk by faith. Faith in what this Word says we are. That we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That we are ready for anything and equal to anything through Christ who infuses inner strength into us. One thought at a time. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Realizing that there's not a day that goes by that God has not looked at our lives and said, I love you. I'll do anything you want. I will be there for you. I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold you. I'll upgird you. I'll blaze a path for you. I will do these things for you. Do you believe that? That's what God wants us to believe, because He's made us righteous with Christ. He's raised us up together with Him. He's seated us on the right hand. And He said, now think about that. Renovate your thinking. Renew your mind. Renovate it. You know, like we did to, you know, countless numbers of condos and houses over the years. You know, we renovate. You know, you get tired of your bathroom, you rip the old stuff out and you put new stuff in. It's renovation. Renovation. That's what we do with our brains now that we know that we've been raised with Christ. Seated, ascended and seated. We start to renovate our brain. No longer do I have to think the way the world thinks. No longer do I have to fashion myself after their fashions. I fashion myself after God and what He has made me in Christ. That's true. That's real. What the world says is just lies. It's all lies. It's all smokescreen and mirrors. God has presented to us truth in His Word. And He said, you are my son, you are my daughter. I've sent my Word to heal you. You don't need the world's way of healing. You need me to heal you. Because I can do it like that. I can do it in an instant. When you believe. That's how to renovate our thinking. It's not to go along with the world. You know, Jesus Christ was faced with many things. He was faced with religion all around Him. And He was faced with the reality of the truth of the Word of God regarding His life. And He chose to believe God's Word about Himself. Not what religion was telling Him. Religion was telling Him in the day, you're a bastard child. Your mother was pregnant before she was married. What worth are you? We know who you are. And you're not the Christ. And yet He looked at the Word and not the world around Him. And He said, I am who God says I am. I am His Son, His only begotten Son. Even the devil himself tried to convince Him in a way, in a slick way, to come away from the truth. You know, in the wilderness for 40 days. Tempted. Every day tempted of the adversary. It just gives you a summary of it. You know, in the record, in the Gospels. In Matthew 4, I think, in Luke 4. How, you know, the devil came to Him and tempted Him and said, are you hungry? Well, then just turn those stones into bread. You can do that. You're the Son of God, aren't you? But He knew. He knew, no, I don't have to do that. God promises He will take care of me. So I'm not going to tempt God. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all this if you'll just worship me. Come away from that God and come and worship me. I'll give you all this and the power of all this that's in the world if you'll just come and worship me. No, I don't need to worship you. Even though you could give me all that, I know that the Word of God says, I will worship God only. Him only will I serve. I don't care what you have to give me. I'm going to worship God and receive what He has to give me. Then He takes him up on the pinnacle. He says, go ahead. Jump. The angels will catch you. They'll hold you up because, hey, it's written. Isn't it written in the Bible about you? That lest you doubt your or dash your foot against a stone, stumble in the way, the angels will be around you. Good. Try it out. No. See, it was a truthful word. Wrong application. See? All these things. He chose to renovate his thinking, to renew his mind to the Word. To the true Word, to the truth. And so he saw great things as a result. He had a choice, just like we have every day. Choose. Choose what you're thinking about. He could have chose, boy, I'm really starving, I'm really hungry. Or could he chose to believe that, well, I'm here for some reason, because I was led of the Spirit to come out to the wilderness and sit for 40 days. And after he had stood on the promises of God to him, on God's guidance to him, and he didn't compromise, what happened? At the end of that 40-day period, what happened? At the end of that last temptation that the devil had for him, and he refused and he resisted, the angels came and ministered to him. The angels came and ministered to him. What a wonderful thing to have. See? It's because he chose to do it God's way. God's way, which is revealed in his Word. Like in James chapter 1, this is why we can look at life sometimes as coming at you in ways that you don't particularly like, but you can still have joy. Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There was no joy in the cross. Very painful, very agonizing, more than any other way to die. And yet, he saw past it. He saw past it. He saw the joy that would come if he would just do it God's way. There would be great joy. This is why in James chapter 1 it says to us, verse 2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Temptations meaning, you know, trials, challenges. Not things that are brought on by God to tempt you or to try you, but just life, the way life throws stuff at you. This is tough sometimes. It doesn't roll out the way we'd like it to. Not every day does. Some days do, some days don't. Count your blessings, because there's plenty of them, whether they're rolling out to you today or not. That's like when Israel was going through tough times, God would always remind them via the mouth of the prophet, remember what God's done for you. Remember, count your blessings. Remember when you were in Egypt, making bricks without straw, tough work, because they don't hold together, and you got to go do them again. Do, keep doing, redo. Remember what God's done for you. He got you out of that. And He got you out in a magnificently miraculous way. How many miracles have we had in our lives? You know, we've had many, many miracles. Remember that when stuff, you know, is trying, when stuff is challenging. Just be joyful. Why? How? Oof, this is weird. Boy, that's fun, being, you know, struggling, isn't it? No, it's not. But we are to count it all joy. We're to realize that if we look past it, by knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that challenge to your faith, works patience. It energizes. It requires patience. And if you have that kind of faith in God, that kind of confidence in God, then you will be patient. I'm going to be patient. Because I know what God has promised. And I have faith in that promise. I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to see it. I will eventually see it. I don't know when. But I know God won't be late. He will be there for me. Let patience have her perfect work. I like the way it puts that. Have her perfect work. Yeah. It could have said it's. But I guess it's a feminine noun. That patience you know, let it work. Let her have its perfect work, you know, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I don't, you know, it's like I've been abased and I've abounded, but I can deal with it all. I can have joy in every situation because I know what God's promised to me, and I know that He would have to break every rule He's ever made, every law He's ever established, to fail at one of His promises. That's why I can be patient. That's why I can have joy, knowing that, wow, you know, even in the midst of this, I can be more than a conqueror, and I will be more than a conqueror. How is God going to do that? I don't know, but it's going to be really wild how He pulls it all out. How He does it. I can have joy. I can, on the inside, have a peaceful anticipation, a joyful anticipation of how God will fulfill His promise to me. That's the only way to live if we're going to really reap the benefits of what God has made available for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and having made us the righteousness of God in Him. Right? We're to enjoy the fruits of our righteousness. This is how. That even in the midst of calamity, even in the midst of disaster, at times, rough roads, roads that aren't paved, we know that the pavement's coming up. God will provide. And then it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. You want wisdom on how to do what you need to do, how to get through what you need to get through? Ask God, with realizing that this can be a joyful time, because there's an answer coming. We're not asking God one day and cursing God the next for taking so long. We ask God and we have faith. We have a firm conviction that God has promised to provide, and He will, no matter how long it takes. You know, the problem comes in when we are double-minded, right? Just like it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver. Don't think he can do it one day and doubt that he can the next. Be convinced of the promises of God. Right? He raised His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. We each believe that. And if He can do that, can't He do for you what you need? Yes, He can. Oh, well, I don't know. It's a little tough. Well, is it? Is it any tougher than ascending Him into heaven? Oh, well, I don't know. That's a pretty good one. Anybody can raise somebody from the dead as long as you got the proper, mechanical device. Clear! Shock them. Get that heart going again. Wait a minute. A man could do that, I guess. Give someone a second chance, even after their heart has stopped, mechanically. But God didn't need that. God raised His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead 3 days and three nights later. Not just 30 seconds later. So God can answer our prayers. God can provide for us. In the midst of everybody and everything saying, no, it's not possible. God says, I can do all things. It's possible. With God, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. That's why we can have joy in the midst of all the things that are going on adversely in our lives, perhaps, at times. Because with God, nothing is impossible. That's what Jesus Christ said. I think Jesus Christ knows a little bit more about life and how to live life than most anybody else who's ever opened their mouth. And that's the reality of it. Because God didn't raise Buddha. God didn't raise Muhammad. Nobody saw him leave. It's all a fairy tale. But Jesus Christ, God raised from the dead. He raised him from the dead after 3 days and three nights, and he was seen among many witnesses. Many witnesses. And we have the proof because we have received the Spirit and we have manifested it. And now the Spirit within us, that manifestation of that Spirit within us by speaking in tongues, interpretation, doing the works of Jesus Christ and greater, is proof. It's proof. That's why he told them to wait until they received it before they went out and opened their mouths about it. Wait for the day of Pentecost. Wait until you've been clothed with power. Then you are my witnesses. Then you can go and speak. Because then it will go beyond those that have seen with their physical eyes that I am alive, and go on to the next generation and the next and the next, and they will have just as much proof as those who saw him physically after he'd been raised from the dead. You know, and now we can have that same kind of faith because we know. We know that it's true. So, you know, be happy. When you look at the things that you need, anticipate them with joy. Not with frustration. Not with impatience. Not with anger towards God. Which sometimes, you know, we're human. We can have those emotions sometimes, but that's where we draw it back and we say, wait, how is that thought in harmony with what I have in Christ? You know, in the midst of all this turmoil and trouble perhaps I'm going through today, why am I thinking that God can't do this for me and see me through this? I will bring my thoughts back and say, no, he said I'm more than a conqueror. He said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said he is my sufficiency in all things. Well, then he's my sufficiency. And if Jesus Christ were sitting right beside you, would you argue with him about what our Father could do? I wouldn't. No, reality check. If he came right now, and he could, he appeared to the Apostle Paul. He's appeared. If he came right down and told you, don't worry about a thing. I'm seated on the right hand of God. So are you. Cheer up. Would you tell him why you can't cheer up? No, you'd probably say, praise the Lord. Break out the hats and hooters. Let's have some fun. Let's joy and rejoice. Count it all joy. You know, every day can be joyful if we bring our minds back. And that's really the lesson, you know. To be transformed into this individual who can live life that way every day with great joy, then we have to bring every thought captive. We have to remember, you know, I mean, look, this life is so short. Why waste time? You know, be blessed. Anticipate, expect what God has in store for you. When you just simply ask. Let him ask. Ask in faith. Ask with some faith, with some confidence in him. There is no substantiation for the promises of God any greater than your faith. It's not his testimony or your testimony or your testimony. Those are great. They encourage you to have faith. And your faith is like what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the title deed. It's the title deed for things prayed for. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence that they're yours before you see them. It's your believing, your faith. And there is no transformation without bringing every thought captive, the renewing of the mind. Every thought with faith. Having faith in that. Having great trust and confidence that what God says you are, you are. What God says you can do, you can do. What God says He has promised to you, you may have. Don't be double-minded. Don't be a wave. blown about, be strong in faith, just like Abraham. So it's the same for us. You know, we have great things that God desires to do for us, but receive them God's way. Not beg Him, not hope for them, but believe that He is true to His Word. You know, and bring every thought captive and watch your life transform. Watch it transform. You don't transform yourself, the transformation comes. Because if you're thinking about who you are in Christ, it changes you. If you're believing who you are in Christ, it changes you. That changes your whole perspective about life. And it enables you to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. Because that's really the big picture. It goes way beyond just you and me. It goes way beyond those little things that we might think that we need so bad. And we do, and God knows that, and you know, He will give to you the things that you need. But it goes way beyond that. He wants you to have those things so that you can be free to do the things that God has called you to do within this life. You know, to reach out, reach the world, reach those people around you, and reconcile them back to God. Because if you're thinking about all the things that you need and that you haven't gotten, are you going to be ready to reconcile somebody back to God? No. That's why God wants to give them to you. God wants to bless you. God wants to take care of you. Because He wants you to do what He's called you to do. Alright? So, Father, thanks for Your blessings. Thank You for that reality that we have, knowing that in Christ we do have that newness of life and that we can anticipate You doing great things for us as we come before You with great conviction, great confidence in You, having the kind of faith that Jesus Christ had in You. Thank You, Father, that You've proved Your Word to us many, many times over, and that we can, thought by thought, have great anticipation for the things that You have yet in store for each of us. Thanks, Father, for continuing to open doors for us to share Your Word and to minister Your power to people. Father, that You've called us to prove You and prove Your Son, Jesus Christ, and bring others back to You as well, to reconcile others to You. Thanks, Father, for providing for each and every one of our needs, for our requests that we've made to You, Father, and that You're busy, You're at work, fulfilling those requests for each of us. Thanks, Father, that we can continue to be joyful as we anticipate how You're going to make those requests real in our lives. Thanks, Father, for these things and for continuing to take care of each of us. In that powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.